Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just had Bernie Williams on, so there you go. Keith McPherson on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let me take a Yankee call, then we'll get back to the Knicks pity party. John is in Bayonne. What's up, John?
Pete, my man, did you see that catch by Judge in right field against the Dodgers?
Yeah, it scares me, but it was nice. It was very good. He made some good plays.
Okay, guess what he tells you? Maybe last year, if he was playing right field and somebody else playing center field, he wouldn't have the problems we had.
Oh, so I know it.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you like that because a lot of people think, oh, listen, we're looking good with Bellinger out there, Dominguez, Tristan. And Judgey, now, when Stan comes back, we got the cards in our favor, you know? We got a lot of good – we need a third baseman, you know? They proposed one trade, and I don't think it's going to go through, but Devers for Goldschmidt, Jones, and Hampton. Take that in a heartbeat, you know? Take that in a heartbeat.
Run that trade by me again?
Yeah, it was on the internet. Goldschmidt, Jones, and Hampton.
Okay, for who?
For Devers, for the Red Sox.
Oh, for Devers. Thanks for the call, John. Trent Grisham in center field, Judge in right field is a much stronger Yankees outfield defense. David Cohn even alluded to, hey, you know, they lost that other guy and put Judge back in right field. Their defense is much stronger. I was just in the chat talking about Dominguez. I'd put Dominguez on the IL. I wouldn't let this young guy play through any type of it sucks, you know, because he's been good and we do need him. But I'd use caution with that. But then if you put Dominguez on the IL, who you calling up? And then I was like, the Yankees, you know, they picked up a Brian De La Cruz. Maybe they go to Pereira. Maybe there's somebody else. Not a Spencer Jones. But you mentioned Spencer Jones in a trade for Devers at third base. The Red Sox are not trading Rafael Devers. They're cooked anyway. He's pretty much all they have left, and they would not send Devers to the Yankees in a million years for any package. Not that package either. We're also not trading Goldschmidt, but I understand the internet, wherever, and there's Yankee fans. There's at least 300 Yankee podcasts, and every podcast now has an Instagram, a Twitter, a TikTok, and they come up with stuff all day. The latest that has been cooking up on the internet for third base is IKF. People want IKF back. I'm like, we don't ever learn. No more second tours. No more second tours. It didn't work the first time. I'm good on it. Oh, Keith, he'll be playing third base. Yeah, he should have been playing third base when he was here. He's a third baseman. We try to make him a shortstop. Then we let him play every position on the diamond. He turned into a utility guy. I'm good on it. And I don't care about his numbers for the Pirates. Playing in New York is not like playing in PNC Park. But I'm sure they could figure something else out, Cash. As of right now, with what DJ LeMahieu did last night, I guarantee you that buys him a lot of time, folks. So any of you that are ready to punt DJ LeMahieu, cut DJ LeMahieu, move on from it. Get used to seeing him in the lineup. He balled last night. He remember against Philly last year where he turned it on too? Like, he's good for one of those maybe a month. And then there's going to be a bunch of stinkers, clunkers, ground outs, strikeouts. But they want him playing second base. He's making $15 million a year. And Jazz is a guy that is not going to come in with ego, is going to be a team player, said, I'll play whatever position. I'm not going to argue over positions. I want a ring. Jazz wants to win the World Series this year. So he'll go back to playing the position he played in the World Series last year. I don't like it because it's like, bro, if this is what you guys are going to do, you should have had him in spring training getting more reps. He should have been, but he's an athlete. He's going to pick it up just fine. He did on the fly last year when Glaber didn't want to do it, but I just think this is temporary. I think Cashman is going to look. He's going to call everyone he can call, and they're going to try and get a right-handed infielder in here that's maybe a third baseman or a utility infielder that could play third, second. That DJ can't be the long-term plan. I think it's to get us to the deadline. DJ for the next 2 months, June and July, I hope. And then maybe if he's on the bench, I'm fine with DJ on the bench. I don't really want him pinch hitting, but like, they love him, and they're paying him for another year after this, so you're not going to get rid of DJ LeMahieu. Jazz is going to be at third. We can move on from Peraza. I don't know exactly what they do with Peraza because he doesn't have any more options left. Maybe he gets traded at the deadline, and Yorbit Vivas can be sent down. Pablo Reyes is like a non-factor. Yeah, we'll get into it. There's plenty more to do and talk about with the Yankees, but I said I got to get back to the Knicks fans. Let's go to AC down in Atlantic City. Harold, you're on the Fan in New York. What's up, man?
What's up, Keith? Good to talk to you, bro.
Thanks for checking in. You got it.
Shout out to Bernie. I don't even know how to follow that up. I can listen to that man talk about anything. And if the bonus is he's still tuned and he can hear my voice, thank you, Bern, for being the best center fielder I've seen in my lifetime as a 45-year-old Yankee fan. Shout out to you. That was dope.
Yeah, I'll text. I'll send a text. He might be listening. He might be in the car.
Yeah. He took me out of my point for a minute. But to the Knicks, though, you ran down the picks that we gave up for Mikal Bridges. I was going to ask you to run them back down, but it doesn't matter. I kind of know what they are. You understand, like, none of those picks individually amount to anything. The Nets took those picks as a package so they can make an acquisition. You know what I'm saying?
We'll see if they can make an acquisition. None of those picks
Which is exactly what the Knicks would have done with them anyway. Like, they're useless picks. They really are.
I can't say they're useless picks.
I mean, come on.
They're useless picks to a Knicks fan that wants to minimize the value that you gave up for Mikal Bridges. I understand that. We don't know what they are until they're either human beings that get picked or a star player that gets acquired.
Would you say that we beat the defending world champions without Mikal Bridges?
No, of course not.
Then all those picks are worth it because we escalated this year. Even though we didn't get to the ultimate goal. I mean,
I'm not arguing whether it's worth it or not. I think we crossed that bridge, and Bridges, pun intended, a while ago. What I'm saying is you paid for him. He's yours. You're not going to be able to flip him and get a return for him. So you might as well give him the extension, and maybe his buddy Brunson can say, hey, man, take a little less. Maybe Leon Rose and him can finesse him into not taking the max and taking a little less. Like, does he love being a Knick that much?
I actually agree with you because I think what happened against Indiana was more schematic than Bridges.
He didn't have a great series against Indiana. He didn't,
but nobody did.
Right.
I mean, if we were gonna measure based on who played well against Indiana, who did?
No, they're all at fault. No, nobody got out of that one clean.
So, I mean, for me, like, it's his first year with the team. It's his first year in the system. I'm okay with what we gave up for Bridges if he got us past Boston.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Harold. But what did that get you? It got you a step further. It got you to the Eastern Conference Finals. It got you a big party outside of Madison Square Garden. It got you an extra week to play through Memorial Day weekend all the way. Like, okay, we had all of May. But what did – there's no trophy for that, right? Dave Portnoy is putting out an AI banner of the Knicks beat the hurt Celtics in the second round. Like, they're telling y'all to put the banner up. Okay, those picks are worth it. Put the banner up then. What I'm saying is, and we'll lay it all out again, you know, it's also going to hurt when if Giannis does get dealt and you see what the return is? Because, like, you felt it a little bit with the Luka trade. Like, that's what Luka went for? Obviously, that deal was just one-to-one. I don't know. Like, that deal still doesn't make any sense. But where it's going to hurt is not what the Nets do with the picks. Not, you know, what, you know, as people like to say, fifth graders, which is so dumb. It's like, do the easy math on, like, these kids aren't in the fifth grade. I guess maybe that 2031 unprotected first round pick, but not even that. It's 2025. That's 6 years from now. Like, anyway, all I'm saying about the Bridges deal is you can't get that value back in trading him. He's yours. You bought him. You keep him. You got to pay him. So whether you like, you know, whether you feel like his offensive game has to get, well, he's yours now. You traded for him. You're not going to get the return on him now. And it's going to hurt a little bit when you see other players moved. I don't know, KD, when you see other players traded and their haul is not going to be that haul that the Brooklyn Nets got. It's not going to hurt so much if the Nets go. And I expect Sean Marks to try to trade up potentially with those picks this year or just sit back and use them. Because I've seen Sean Marks draft Cam Thomas. I've seen him draft Nick Claxton, Dayron Sharp, and a bunch of other characters in the draft without having a top lottery pick. He's able to find talent. But that's not going to burn you because like it's not like those guys are going to turn into anything in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. What's going to burn you is if Mikal Bridges never wins with this team. What's going to burn you is if other players over these next couple years are traded that could have helped your team, but you can't put the package together to get them because of what you gave up for a player that's not an all-star, that's a role player, that's not effective offensively all the time. He's a good defender. He's an Iron Man. He's got the Iron Man streak. But like if you don't win anything, you're not going to, in 10 years, if you don't win a finals, if you don't get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, you're not going to say the Mikal Bridges trade was worth it because we beat Boston. Danny is in Paramus, New Jersey. What's up, Danny?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. You're the best. Before I get to the next point, what a surprise from Bernie. And on behalf of all Yankees fans, you have one job at the softball game. You got to get Bernie, get him warm, and get him ready for October because we could use him on the Yankees.
Not, Bernie has had knee surgery.
Yeah. Did you see the Yankees last October, Keith? Come on. I think he fit amazing right behind Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
But anyway, on a serious note, with the Knicks, I just wanted to know why people are talking about Thibodeau and his job being safe. I mean, he deserves a lot of credit for how he revived the Knicks over the last few years, and especially what he did against Boston. But his team was completely outmatched and outwitted on the fast break. The Pacers were running all over them, and when the Knicks finally got the chance to have a fast break, it ended with a Mikal Bridges, turnaround fadeaway jumper from 12 feet. I just don't understand how they could be that outmatched and that unprepared for something that the Pacers do so often.
Who do you suggest? I'll say this, and I can't speak for Knicks fans, but Tibbs is safe with Rick and Jalen Brunson. Tibbs is safe. Brunson already came out after the game and lobbied for him. He's also safe because this era of the Knicks being back, the Knicks being relevant, like the money that they're making, $832 million of an economic impact this year,
yep.
Like he is, they're not going to move on from him. Like, Mike Malone being fired in Denver, they won the championship. Those guys weren't listening to him anymore. They kicked him to the curb. He's not the option for the Knicks. I don't know who is on your mind potentially to take over after Tom Thibodeau, but they're not moving on from him.
The point about Brunson is, you know, they asked him in cameras in his face, and he's the captain. Could he, even if he didn't feel that way about Thibodeau, could he really say, oh, I don't think Thibodeau's the guy for us. I just don't feel good about that. I don't have any other coaches in mind, but I just think that we've reached our limit with Tibbs here.
Understood. Thanks for the call, Danny. I don't agree. What I feel like is Tibbs evolved. Tibbs was in the position where he said, all right, I'm not going to die on my principles. I'm not going to go out, you know, on what I believe as far as like not playing my bench. He did play DeLon Wright. He did play Landry Shamet. He did change his starting five that was struggling. So you know what? Change the starting five to have a better starting five next year. You know what? If he's willing to go to the bench, give him a deeper, stronger, better bench next year. Build the trust. Like I said, move Josh Hart to the bench. He'll have more trust in the bench. get some better players that he'll watch and he'll coach up and develop this summer where, like, you know, you can match up with the Pacers. What it is this wound is fresh and somebody's always got to be the fall guy. There's always got to be someone to blame. There's always got to be somebody to say it's this guy's fault. And you're not going to do that to Jalen Brunson. You're not going to do that to Josh Hart. Everybody's treating Karl Anthony Towns like he's Julius Randle now. It's easy to do that to Cat, right? It's easy to do that to the coach. Y'all were ready to fire the coach after he didn't get Brunson and Hart in the game in Detroit. He outcoached Joe Mazzulla. No props for that. Rick Carlisle should get props. He's a champion. He's got his team back in the championship. 888-808-1019. He's safe, bro. There's no world where they fire this man who just had back-to-back 50-win seasons, who just got out of the second round when the whole world said there's no way you're getting out of the second round, that just gave you a taste of the Eastern Conference Finals, brought that back to New York. Now the story continues. The saga continues. The 30-for-30 script says the Knicks got to have a hell of an offseason. They have to develop. They have to get better. They have to be conditioned. They have to play less minutes from their starters next season. They have to have a deeper bench next season so that they can take a step forward next season and get to the finals. That's the only thing left to do.
I guess my response to that would be can Tibbs get them over the hump? Can Tibbs do that?
This is a basketball savant who watches film, and all they do is talk about watching film with him. They talk about how this guy works every single day, maybe only takes off Christmas. I bet you if the players are vacationing and doing things, he's not.
Sure.
I bet you he's right now watching the whole Pacers series thinking about, okay, what do we need to address? What type of player do we need? How do we acquire them? Because we're right there.
Right. And so in that case, then it's on the players for failing. And if it's on this team for failing, then you can't run it back, right? Something has to change. Something big has to change. And
run it back. You have to run it back, essentially, because it's like, let's make this team better and let's see what they can do after a year of playing together. Like, I wouldn't blow this up. Farther than the other teams that you tweaked every year.
If they're able to flip, because I think we can talk about OG and Mikal. It really comes down to if they're going to change something, it's going to be trading Cat. And if you can trade Cat and push and put him together with somebody, and if you can get him either for Giannis or KD, because I think those would be like two big name guys. And listen, if you replace Cat with Giannis or KD, actually might be a different result. And do the Knicks have the guts? Does that front office have the guts to move Cat immediately?
I think they do. They had the guts to move Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo for Cat. You're talking about two teams that were in the finals 3 years ago in the Suns and the Bucks. They are going into complete rebuild mode. They are going into, like, so what do you need a Karl Anthony Towns for if you're incomplete? He was an all-star starter this year.
The rub for the Suns is that he has the Kentucky connection with Devin Booker. And maybe they try to run that back a little bit, man, and go that way.
Maybe Book don't want him, though.
All these guys are best friends, man. They all want to. And let's be real, they don't care about
business.
They really don't care about the results. They just want to play with each other. They want to make the most money as possible. That they possibly can, which is fine, by the way. They're incredibly skilled. They just want to make money and stay healthy, and that's fine. But I do think that's what we're talking about from a fan perspective, is I don't think you can run this back because it failed. There's no easier road that the Knicks are going to have.
I mean,
speaking of
Giannis, Giannis is the one with the famous, you know, did Michael Jordan win every year? Was every year a failure? Like, this was not a failure. That was one of the first things I lined up for y'all tonight. Stop saying the season was a failure. The end, they failed. This was the best Knicks season of a lot of your lives. They were bums for mad long. They were a whole trash can a decade ago. It's crazy how greedy we get, how quickly we just...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't appreciate things. Y'all were hugging each other, high-fiving, strangers, dancing in the streets, throwing garbage, climbing on stuff. Mike is in Clifton Park, New York on the fan. What's up, Mike? Mikey, going once, going twice, Mikey. You're on hold. All right, I'm going to say his guy's name first, and then I'll give him, you know, a couple seconds. Tony, you're coming up. Let's see. Tony is in North Brunswick taking Mike's spot, and then Mike, you know, we'll eventually get back to you. Tony, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good. you were ready to go.
Good. You might not agree with my take after I just heard your spiel, but I got to give it to you.
Okay.
I got to give it to you. So, and I'm going to make an analogy about the Knicks season, if you can just bear with me for 2 seconds. So coming into the season, I think most the consensus would have been if the Knicks made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and win or lose, it would have been a success. I think most people would have been on board with that, right?
Yes.
Now, okay, right. So here's my analogy. If and I'm a gambler, as is yourself. You go to the casino, right? And you win $1,000 within the first hour, right?
Yeah.
Right? You win $1,000 in the first hour. At that point, Keith, you got to take money home. You got to take money home. You cannot go home a loser.
What do we start with? How much money do we start with?
You start, I don't know, you bring $300 to the casino. You bring $300 to the casino. You win $1,000 within the first hour. You got to take some money
five.
Home.
I'm putting five in the safe in the room. I've been
so,
there.
So,
I'm telling somebody else to set the code because when I'm drunk, I don't want to go back and get it.
Well, you know what, Keith? I'm a degenerate, and I've won that type of money, and I would lose the $1,000 and even the $200 or $300 that I brought. Hey, listen, Keith, and in that moment, I would justify, well, it was the casino's $1,000, so I'm good. No, at that point, the narrative changed. Let me I'm saying all that to say, when the Knicks beat Detroit, then they beat the world champions, and they meet Indiana in the Eastern Conference Finals, the entire country took the Knicks. The narrative changes at that point. Keep narrative changes. The Knicks have to get to the championship. And if they don't, just for me, Keith, it's a failed season because the narrative changed from the beginning when most people thought that if you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a successful season. No, the narrative changed once they beat Boston.
Heard you. Thanks for the call, Tony. The narrative changed. The reality didn't change, though. They weren't better than the Pacers. The Pacers were going to beat them. And the Pacers, like, they beat them last year. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. The narrative changed. The thoughts around it changed. But the Knicks didn't match up well against them. The Knicks didn't have the bodies. The Knicks didn't have the experience. The Pacers were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So the narrative changed, but the reality still was this was not a championship team. Nobody thought this team was winning a championship in the regular season when they couldn't beat the elite teams. The narrative changed, yeah, because there was a pathway where you thought, but like that's why you can bet on this stuff. Yeah, And that's why people said, okay, I'm going to bet on the Knicks. The Knicks are favorites slightly, I think like at 52%. But that's why we watch all these games. That's why we talk about all this stuff. I mean, I took Knicks in seven, but that was all stick. That was all, you know, I was rocking with the Knicks for the city. I didn't think they were beating the Pacers, but I wasn't going to come on air and be a crab or put out negative energy because I wasn't on that type of timing. But I didn't think they were beating the Pacers. I had a call. I forget the guy that I even brought in. I got to go back to my notes. And we were talking about the Pacers and their style of play and how it's going to be a problem for the New York Knicks and how last year you saw the TJ McConnells of the world and even Obi Toppin. And obviously they have Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a problem. And then after they lost that first game, I'm like, you're probably going to lose a series because you lost it in that fashion. Then they lost the second game. 2-0, pack them up. 3-1, pack them up. So the narrative changed going into that series, but then it also flipped back. When you blow game one like that, the narrative changes. There's math involved. There's history involved. I don't think it was a failure of a season. I think it was one of the most successful seasons in the last three decades. It was the most fun that Knicks fans have had in their entire life that are under the age of 30, 35. So you can't just discard that because you're hurt right now, because you're disappointed right now, because you felt like this was your path to the finals and they had to get it done. They didn't get it done. The dream ended. It was all a dream. Got to wake up now and figure out how, in reality, to build a team that can actually go the distance. 888-808-1019. It's 825. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking about the Knicks, of course. But we can also talk about the Yankees. And in about an hour, when we get halfway through my show, we'll set the stage for Mets versus Dodgers at the theme park of ballparks, Dodger Stadium, Vin Scully Way. 888-808-1019. Call me up one time. I'll be right back. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. Still taking your calls at 888-808-1019, talking to people in the chat. Shout out to Marcus in the chat who said they were two wins away from the finals. How is it a failure? Like, they actually did better than the Timberwolves. Timberwolves only got one game. They got the gentleman sweep. So when you actually look at it, like, they finished third in the entire league. That's a failure. You've been in the bottom three of the league. What? But I know it's New York. It's tough. Hard to make it. You know, we build you up to break you down. And one minute they love you, and the next they hate you. And they can't appreciate it in the moment because the wound is fresh. The hurt is real. The disappointment. Because you started dreaming. You started dreaming of a finals. I talked you through it. That finals logo on the floor at MSG. You started thinking about that trophy and a parade. And man, if this is what it looks like after winning game six of the semifinals. Don't let them go to the finals. Don't let them get game six and force a game seven. They didn't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There will be no parade down the Canyon of Heroes. We're on to the Yankees and Mets potentially doing that. But I think as time goes on, you'll heal. I think as time goes on, you'll recap the season and be like, yo, there were some moments, man. This team in year one, they went further than these other teams. Let's not blow this thing up. Let's just get better. Let's not blow this thing up because history tells us the last few teams in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? The Heat, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Knicks are on the same trajectory. You lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Next year could be your year. But can it be that with Giannis? I guess. I still don't think the Bucks are doing that trade. I don't think they want Cat. If everybody's killing Cat in New York, people calling him a loser, saying he's not a winning player. If everybody's killing Cat in New York, talking about his defense, The Athletic dropped that article as soon as the Knicks lost. Like, you think that Milwaukee, they're over there like, yeah, send them. Send us a package with Karl Anthony Towns. They're not. Let's get back to the phone. Jeff is in Huntington. Jeff, you're live.
What's going on, Keith? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, man. You know me as Weather Jeff, and I just came back from a couple of years up in Celtics country, so it's nice to be back in Knicks Nation and listening to you on a daily basis. So I just wanted to say that first and foremost.
I bet WEEI and Sports Hub 985, I bet they're still crying about the Celtics, but they're enjoying this Knicks loss.
I guarantee you they are, and they might cry. They might have cried into July if not for the fact that they won it all last year. I'll tell you that much. But
yeah,
the
Red Sox are cooked.
Case,
so yep.
Well, the hype preseason, because I was still up there in February and March, the hype preseason, oh, man, you would have thought that they were like a World Series lock. And I said, guys, did we forget? I mean, I know it was unceremonious for us Yankees, but did we forget? I mean, who's ahead of you in the division? So until further notice, but they didn't want to hear that. So
Alex Bregman, Walker Buehler, Aroldis Chapman, who's stopping those guys themselves?
Right. I was like, Lucas Giolito, I remember him. What has he got, like a 14 ERA right now? Unreal. But
yeah,
we're here to talk basketball. We're here to, you know, we got to have a little, we're at the service. We're at the ceremony here. You're the preacher. I'm in the pew. And I think you're the voice of reason here. I've heard the gambit of emotions on this station today, with ranging a wide variety of viewpoints on, you know, the state of the Knicks right now. And I think you're very level-headed with, you know, everything that you've said. I think running it back, you know, again, everybody wants to play the blame game. Everybody wants to have a scapegoat. I think that's just how we are as New Yorkers. I think we're hardwired for that to happen. I think you'd agree with that. But like you said, after a quarter century, man, let's just enjoy that we almost took basketball into the month of June. I think we have to, you know, take a step back for a second and let the dust settle. And hopefully that's what our coaching staff's going to do. Hopefully that's what our front office is going to do. Now, no disrespect to your producer, doing a fantastic job. I do not think KD is, I don't want to touch that man with a 39.5-foot pole. I'm sorry.
He doesn't want to come to New York either, though. Like, he does not want to be a Knick either.
Right. Listen, you can say all the things you want. He was a half a shoe size away from maybe the Nets going all the way. Who knows if that would have happened. But, I mean, let's think about this. This man needed a historic Warriors supporting cast to even get dub number one.
He doesn't drive the bus. He's a passenger on the bus. He's a great player, all-time player. He doesn't drive the bus. Thanks for the call, Jeff. I mean, now you got me thinking about the Nets, and I think it's easy for me to be level-headed and look at this Knicks team because my heart is not in it. I don't love them like you love them. I'm not a fan of them. I don't even love the Nets. I like the Nets, and I'm a fan of the Nets, but let's go back to that season he was just referencing. Was that a failed season for the Nets? Of course. But injuries bit them. I enjoyed a lot of moments of that run. It wasn't a long run. But why did I enjoy it? because I watched them suck. I watched them be ass. I watched them not be good. I watched them be bums and not have stars and not have closers. So it is fun to watch KD and Kyrie hoop, or the big three of KD, Kyrie, and Harden that only played 18 games together. It was fun. I enjoyed it as a fan. We never had that. I mean, you can go back, obviously, to the New Jersey Nets and the teams that they had. But I'm talking about in recent time, at least since I have been in New York working and being an adult old enough to, like, go to work, buy a ticket, go to the game from 2014 on with the Nets being in Brooklyn. Like, I enjoyed the little bit of success they had. I don't know how you can be a Knicks fan that has struggled for all of those years, seen them be trash all those years, and then look at this season and say this was a failure. They failed at the end, but most teams fail. One team is going to be the champion in every league. And you got to fail, but also know, like, in every loss, there's a lesson. Take the lesson out of it. Learn from it. Leon Rose, Tom Thibodeau, Jalen Brunson. And, like, I would, if I'm a fan of the Knicks, I would want to see them run it back because I would want to see how they respond to this. If it's the Pacers standing in the way, it ain't going to be the Celtics, we don't assume. Maybe it's the Cleveland Cavaliers, but if it's the Pacers standing in the way, you want round three. Hard to beat a team three times, right? You should want that. You should want to run it back with a couple different pieces, change the starting lineup a little bit, definitely lengthen the bench, and see what you can do with the Pacers in 2026. The writing is on the wall. Heat, Celtics, Pacers, Knicks. Lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. The following year, win the Eastern Conference Finals. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eatontown. Kyle, you're on the fan. What up, man?
Keith, how you been, brother?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Last time we chatted, we were talking Yankees. You know, and I think if you're a Yankee fan right now, you're ecstatic with what you got. I think, you know, winning that game last night was huge. And the way that they won in dominant fashion was even better. You know, I know they hit a couple homers late, but, you know, our fourth, fifth best option right now on our staff shut these guys down. So I think that the formula has been created to where we're going to be able to compete with the Dodgers in the postseason. I wanted to kind of hear your thoughts on what the Yankees are looking like right now.
I just think it's a small chance that we do meet them in the World Series. That's the only place we potentially see them. I know people gas this series because it was on Apple TV, Fox, ESPN, nationally televised. That hurt that, like, we got whooped like that on Fox on Saturday, and then we blew that lead on Apple TV on Friday. But, like, I'm not losing any more sleep over the Dodgers. I was excited for them to potentially get some redemption, some get back, because the Dodgers talked all that trash. The Dodgers mocked them. But you know what? The Dodgers are the Dodgers. They're dancing on second base. They're turning up in L.A., and they humbled the Yankees. Good. Take that humble pie and see what you're going to do with it. Nobody's hyping up this ALCS rematch with the Guardians coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm interested to see how the Yankees respond at home. Sweep them. Take two out of three from them. Get back to winning series. Start another win streak. You know, the Dodgers,
right,
to me.
And that's sports. That's
yeah,
how it's done.
Last thing I'll say is the Dodgers are the new evil empire. They got the deferrals. They got all the stars. They got the top attendance. They're the reigning champs. It sucks. But, like, they're not guaranteed to go to the World Series, and I can't worry about them too much because the chances of us seeing them in the Fall Classic are small.
Right. And if you're an evaluator of the sport, you know, and you're pretty smart when it comes to this stuff, you play it at a high level, you know what it takes to be a good teammate, and, you know, kind of, you understand the process of what professional sports looks like. And me as a Yankee fan, I was looking at this series kind of like that get back. You know, what do we have for these guys? We're playing our best game going into this series. What could it potentially look like? And now going into the next series and then playing the Red Sox next weekend, exactly. Go in and show out, right? You guys just played the world champs. You played pretty well on Sunday. Like, let's keep this thing rolling. When is Luis Gil coming back? What's his deal?
Yeah, he's working on it. I think later this month we could see Luis Gil. He's starting to throw off the mound, so maybe July, actually, if he's just starting to work off the mound.
I mean, take your time, kid. You know, like, he's got all the time in the world. I'd like to have him back post All-Star break, you know, starting his starts. But I think if he comes back healthy and we can, you know, keep Rodon, you know, moving the way he's moving, you know, that's a nice 1-2-3 punch, man. And just to touch on the Knicks a little bit, I feel like all New York Knicks fans should just keep their mouth shut and be happy that their team is finally, you know, moving in the right direction again, like you said. Thanks for the time, brother.
Thanks for the call, Kyle. Yeah, Luis Hill, I won't say he's got all the time in the world, but you would like to see him come back and ramp up and be ready potentially for the postseason. We needed him in the postseason last year. What you just saw out of Will Warren, I think Will Warren just, you know, he was overmatched and he's a rookie and he took his lumps and you got to take some lumps. He said he's going to, you know, he's going to wear that one. He's going to think about that one. He's going to feel that one. That's the Dodgers. That's the best of the best, right? But Ryan Yarbrough last night, bro. I mean, I didn't even want this dude on the team. But Matt Blake's pitching lab, another Cashman find. This is what Cashman does. One man's trash is another Brian Cashman find. Off the clearance rack, bargain bin, come on down. He's been ridiculous. A Fireside Yankees writes, Ryan Yarbrough has been lights out since entering the Yankees rotation in early May, performing as one of the best starters in baseball, in MLB. He's got a 2.08 ERA, 24.7% K rate, a 0.81 whip, and an 0.04 war. Like, when I say he's been ridiculous, it's because he went from being cut by the Blue Jays in spring training to the Yankees picking him up for no money and him being a bolt guy out of the bullpen that I'm like, at first, the first time he pitched, he gave it up, and I'm like, yo, what is Boone doing with this guy? They trying to steal outs with this guy? And he just got better as a reliever and then turned into a starter. Like, that's ridiculous. What a ridiculous year for this guy. And he was with the Dodgers last year, won a ring with them. Like, what a ridiculous year for Ryan Yarbrough in a Yankee uniform so far. 888-808-1019. And this is what the Yankees do. This is what Brian Cashman does. They'll find somebody and turn them into something, whether it's last year Michael Tonkin or Tim Hill. And I want to believe in Will Warren and Ryan Yarbrough and this whole rotation. Max Fried, that's one bad start. Rodon, Clark Schmidt. But you need more pitching. And when the deadline comes, Cashman already told you, pitching, pitching, pitching. They're going to try and add to the rotation, to the bullpen, and you can't have enough arms. And we'll see who comes back. I see Jake Cousins is working his way back. He's beginning a rehab assignment. There's a couple other guys on the way. They're DFAing guys. And I mean, the Yankees in the American League should win the American League East and come out of the American League. And whoever they face in a potential World Series, if they're able to pull it off and get there, so be it. But I can't lose sleep over the Dodgers. I did that on Friday night. Like, I'm telling you, I was up Friday night. I wasn't even on the radio Friday night, and I couldn't go to bed till 2 in the morning because I'm like, how do you sleep after that? How do you sleep after they trigger all of your thoughts about, damn, they own us. We lost another lead. We can't beat them. Even if we do get to the World Series and it's them sitting there waiting for us, we're going to lose back-to-back World Series to the Dodgers. I can't live in this world. But there's no reason worrying about the future like that and making that much out of a regular season game. Those Dodgers that we saw, they're going to look different. Like, Mookie Betts didn't even play. Like, they're going to have a different team. We'll start getting to it, actually, because I'm planning on talking about the Dodgers more now that I just saw them. And I saw them play the Mets and lose to the Mets, and the Mets have a great opportunity here to go in there and win two games and get the tiebreaker over them. Probably won't need it, but, like, who knows? None of us know. You can't predict baseball. Nobody knew Yamamoto was going to struggle last night. Nobody knew that DJ LeMahieu was going to ball out last night. Like, I did not have that on my bingo card. I was on for 5 hours yesterday. I did say that maybe Ryan Yarbrough finds something and he should be comfortable there on that mound as he was there last year. And you could tell he had a chip on his shoulder. Even as it looked like he was getting into some trouble and his pitch count was getting up there, he had a chip on his shoulder about, you know, doing what he had to do against his former team. And I did say if they jumped on Yamamoto early, we might have a shot. And they didn't. It wasn't like they jumped all over Yamamoto and buried him. But, like, they got that first run in, and then you guys watch the game. We'll get to it. We'll talk more about the Dodgers because it's just a great segue into this Mets series. I can't wait to watch the games in here tonight. I don't have SNY at home, so I'm going to watch most of the game here. And we'll have a little bit of a watch-along. I know the Met fan is not going to be listening and calling in. So as Yankee fans, we'll watch and we'll react and talk to it. But let's take another call on the Knicks. Like I said, I'm taking your Knicks calls all night, but I just can't do the back and forth. I've given you my things that I've laid out that I think about each player and the coach and the season as a whole. I think because of the way they lost and because of the dreams you had being in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's all over the place. Fans are all over the place about what they want, who they want to trade for, who they want off this team, who should be cut, who should be traded, who should be not cut, who should be fired, Tibbs being fired, who should be traded, who they should get. It's like, just, you know, reel it back in and realize you were technically the third place team in the entire NBA. And the Knicks are never that. 888-808-1019. Andy's in Harrison on the Fan. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Good, thanks. I want to thank you. You keep me company on my ride home from work, and I also appreciate your take on the Knicks, you know, keeping it real about them not really being at that championship level yet. And I know there was a lot of frustration because they look good for a moment. You know, like they kind of got you to believe that when they were clicking off on cylinders, they could compete. Then they have these moment of lapses, you know, offensively and defensively. And I was just wondering your opinion about, like, how much do you think it's the coaching for them being, you know, like seemingly unprepared at times and lacking defense and not manning up and not guarding a three-point line, letting Halliburton just drive through the basket like untouched?
Yeah, it's a mix of...
Interested in your opinion.
It's a mix of coaching, communication, and reading that Athletic article, they told you that these guys were having meetings about this. They were having team meetings after every loss trying to get it together. They were frustrated with Karl Anthony Towns and his effort or his lack of knowing where to be on the floor, what to do. And it all goes back to it being their first year together. In the NBA, teams don't win their first year together. Even the Miami Heat, right? And here's Rick Carlisle coming back into the show tonight. The Miami Heat, we're going to win not one, not two, not three, not four. The Miami Heat, big three of LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh, they got stopped that first year together by the Dallas Mavericks. Like, it takes time to be a cohesive unit. It takes time to know where everybody's supposed to be and where everybody's going to be counted on and depended on the floor. They had to go through this year. And you know what? They turned this year into a positive year. They took a step forward. That is progress that I can't just wash off. It's progress that I can't just push off and act like it didn't happen. They got out of the second round when everybody told you that they couldn't beat the Celtics and get out of the second round. They did. So build on it. Figure out how to get better. Run it back. Add a couple other pieces. But ultimately, like, the tandem of Brunson and Towns, I know. They're both scorers. They lack the defensive ability that you want, but I think you could win with them. I think they can work on it. I think they can add another piece. I think they can change the bench and get deeper. I think they can change their rotations. I'm looking at this coach, right? Like, it's on you and Leon Rose. It's on you too. Talk to the coach. Talk to Leon Rose. Figure out the guys you need and the strategy you need to beat the Pacers. That's the next thing to do next year.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's just so frustrating to watch Towns, you know, like, just be so inconsistent and look so awful at times.
But then also save you at times. That Pistons game where he had the, like, six threes, he won that game. Game three, when he's on the floor with DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet and Deuce McBride, it's like, yo, Cat, go. It's on you. Dunk the ball. Go to the lane. Get to the rack. Shoot the three. Do what you got to do. And he had a 20-point fourth quarter to win the game. If you go down 3-0, you might get swept.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's encouraging that the bench did come through when Tibbs finally put them in. Those players, like, really had some great minutes. So hopefully it'll encourage
them. Props to them. Props to the coaching. I call them the stay ready group. Stay ready so you don't got to get ready. They didn't play against the Detroit Pistons. They didn't play. Like, when they were called upon with the season on the line, they played. But then that goes back to my theory that this was not a championship group. You got to go to the bench now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. That means you've run out of options. It's a desperate move.
Yeah, it's all right. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Andy. And that, like, that is okay because the coach told you, like, he showed you that he had the ability to adapt, that he wasn't so stubborn to say, like, you know, and he got those guys ready and they were effective. He threw something at the Pacers that they weren't ready for. They adapted to it and you know, found a way to win the series. But now have a deeper bench, some better players that you can do that for the whole season. And you don't have to go to that on your last leg. I don't know. I'm just looking at it as a non-fan, I guess. As an NBA fan who has watched the NBA for years and watched teams evolve and become. You know, the Celtics thought that they were a lock to win this year because they were running it back with the same group. But look what happened to them. Kristaps Porzingis has a illness where he's not even he's a shell of himself. Jason Tatum goes down, where I still think the Knicks would have won the series. But, I mean, that was Tatum's best game. What if he played like that the rest of the way? We don't know. And then we come to find out that, like, Jaylen Brown had, like, a torn meniscus or something, needed surgery. Like, he was playing hurt. They just – that's a team that, you know, guys played in the Olympics, Derek White and Jason Tatum, and they played in the finals last year, and they played in the finals the year before. That's a lot of hooping. It's a lot of basketball in 2 years without much of a break. The Knicks need to get a good rest, a good break, and then they need to get some good bench players and then develop the players that they have and, you know, be ready next year to run with the Pacers. You need athletic guys that can play with them at their pace, and then you need to be able to rest your guys and not be so worried about getting them back in the game. And that's on Leon Rose and Tibbs to figure out. But if you're a fan of the Knicks, I just think over time you'll get over it. Thursday, the finals start. You might not even watch it. You might get over it watching OKC smack the Pacers, right? If OKC beats them in five, I think it's probably going to stretch to six just because, you know, they'll stretch it to six. They don't want the game to be they don't want it to be another gentleman sweep. But I think you'll start to heal. You'll get over it. That's how I felt with the Yankees. I was sick. I was distraught after the World Series, embarrassed. But then after a while, I'm like, man, like they got this far with Verdugo and Rizzo, and like they did end the drought. I did get to go to the World Series. They did win the American League. It wasn't a complete failure. It was a fun ass year. I had a lot of fun. There were a lot of good moments. 888-808-1019. It's about to be 9. 2 hours down, 3 hours to go. When we come back, I'll start talking a little bit more about the Dodgers. And about the Mets facing them, and the Mets pitching, and how the Mets have to hit in Dodger Stadium. Because the Dodgers are going to hit. You got to be able to score with them. Their pitching is hurt and compromised, but their lineup is lethal, and they're never out of it. Even last night, I'm sitting in my bed, I'm falling asleep. I'm like, no, don't give them anything. Don't let them come back. And they didn't. But yeah, we'll get into more of the Dodgers-Mets matchup, as this is the last hour before that series starts out in LA, and it's a good segue between the Yankees who just faced them, and then, you know, the next hour we'll talk about the Guardians and this homestand coming up, and I will continue to take your calls on the Knicks. It's okay, they lost, but you haven't watched them lose in the Eastern Conference Finals since 2000? Come on, bro, get it together. Keith McPherson on the Fan, we'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout. No reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.